traveling can be a lot of fun. You get away from home, you get to see new places and experience new things. I love it. I think it's great. But if you're like me, you may have lost some important documents along the way. Once I had my pocket picked and I lost my passport. And then you're spending your days, I'm telling you right now, filling reports, filing out forms, and trying to replace what you lost. Rick Sini is the CEO of FairCompare.com. He has some great advice to share with us today. And tell you what, if you're going to be traveling, you really need to pay some attention to his tips here. Rick, are you with us? Thanks for joining us.
Good, I guess morning, almost afternoon. Yeah.
Yeah, almost afternoon. Well, you have an article on FairCompare.com called "The Four Things You Must Not Lose While Traveling," and one of them is your passport. I lost my passport, and so did Judith. She lost hers too.
We just had one of our folks that just got back. One of our employees, her husband got pickpocketed in Italy and lost his passport as well. So there are some ways to sort of handle this situation. And by the way, getting pickpocketed is not necessarily an uncommon occurrence in certain places like Rome and some other places like Paris and other places. So something you have to worry about. And a lot of people will do all sorts of devices to hold it close to their chest and body purses. And many times just having the hotel hold on to it is your best bet until you actually take your trip. So depending on what you're doing.
Yeah. So that's one of the four things that you should not lose while traveling.
And by the way, I talked to lots of flight attendants. They fly a lot of times. Sometimes they lose their passports internationally. Almost every one of them will take a picture of their passport and load it up to their favorite cloud, photo sharing site, Facebook, whatever. And that helps the process when you do lose it, because if you have photographs of it, you have all your information with you, and you can always pull it down from any internet device.
Yeah, that's a great piece of advice. What else should we worry about?
Well, first of all, it's any form of ID. Certainly, if you're going to be traveling, you do not want to lose your ID, your driver's licenses, your passports, whatever. So any form of ID, again, take pictures of it. You know, leave it with the hotel if you can. Hotel safes are usually pretty safe. So the bottom line is that you just don't want to lose your ID. The two things that really can ruin your trip is basically losing your ID. That can take 2 or 3 days off your trip because you're trying to sort it out, especially your passport. On international trips, and your ID. But in many cases, people think they lose their driver's license, TSA won't let them through. TSA will let you through without your driver's license. Just head to the airport a little bit early. If you do go a little bit early, they will actually let you through without your driver's license, but they're going to ask you some questions. They're going to take you off to the side, and they will actually let you take the flight.
And then don't lose what else? Your mobile device.
Absolutely, your mobile device. In many cases, we store our entire lives on these mobile devices nowadays. Passwords, sites, apps that automatically log in. You have to be really, really careful about losing your mobile device. Those actually get stolen more than wallets, actually. Laptops, mobile devices. And a lot of us carry a lot of that information. If somebody were to take it, it would be absolutely crazy to try to unwind it. Much worse than your wallet, for example.
Yeah, but you don't want to lose your valuables either. That's the other. That's the fourth item.
And the last thing, too, really, is you don't want to lose your cool.
Yeah.
And so the one thing that happens in these situations is people get frustrated. There is a process. We write about it all the time. It's not the end of the world if you lose these things. And as long as you know a few tips and tricks, you'll be able to get through it. Just adhere to it. Most likely it won't happen to you. But if it does happen to you, don't lose your cool.
What are we looking at? Any good deals out there now for air travel, or is everything just really expensive?
I do stuff all across the country and write for USA Today and ABC News, and we monitor every route in the world every hour on the hour. So we have really good inside information about what's happening on. Right now, for the next 4 weeks or so, prices are pretty high. The good news is that year over year, prices are only up summer to summer 1%. The bad news is in our tracking data, which goes back 8 years, last last summer was the most expensive that we've ever seen. I think prices haven't gone up dramatically over last year for a couple reasons. And by the way, oil's up over $100 a barrel, so they should be tracking a little bit higher. Is the fact that the sequester has some overhang, there's some furloughs with folks, that gives them less disposable income. And plus, we also saw the rebate and the payroll tax roll off in January. So I think the economy being a little more tepid is causing airlines not to be able to increase prices. They've tried to increase prices 9 times this year and only had 2 successes. On average, they usually bat a little bit better than 200. They typically bat about 500. So the economy is holding things back. In theory, with the mega mergers, less aircraft in the air, there's 15% less aircraft in the air than there was 5 years ago. Airlines should be able to raise prices. They just can't today.
We have lots of callers online. By the way, you can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. George in Milwaukee up first here. George, hi. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Going to Lisbon, Portugal from the Milwaukee area in October, staying about a month, and looking online, things to be seem to be coming in at about $1,000 or a little more. Wondering if you have any advice, maybe wait a little while to see if the prices go down, or is there a good time?
Yeah, so
a week to buy things?
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple of tips there. First of all, when you fly transatlantic in this particular case, they have what's called midweek and weekend pricing. Weekend departures Friday, Saturday, Sunday are more expensive.
Right.
So if you leave Monday through Thursday, you'll pay typically anywhere from $30 to $50 each way cheaper. Second of all, any price really under $1,000 to Europe right now is a good deal. So if you're seeing $1,000 to Lisbon, October is what they call shoulder season or a little bit of the off season before winter. Mm-hmm. The average fuel surcharge to Europe right now is $460 round trip. The average taxes to Europe are around $170. So you're starting at a little over $600 before you actually pay for airfare.
Oh.
So, you know, that ticket really, and if you're seeing under $1,000, is $150 each way.
Yeah.
And so it's not going to get much cheaper than that. So I would recommend that you anything under $1,000 up until winter time, and unless you're going from the East Coast, you should pull the trigger on it as quickly as possible.
Hmm.
There you go. All right, George, good luck. Thanks.
And that also means that oil prices have gone from 90 to 105, so in theory, airlines are looking to raise prices.
There you go. We got an email from Heidi, who lives in Denver, Colorado, but listens to the show all the time. She needs to be in Cozumel from February 14th through February 21st, wondering when's the best time to buy a ticket from Denver. The tickets are now selling at around $665. There are no direct flights. When should I buy?
Yeah, and actually Frontier, I think, will start flying that seasonally later on in January and February, so she might get a direct flight into Cozumel. It depends. Because of some of the issues they've had in Mexico with security, some of those flights have been trimmed back. Certainly, if you're flying in that, she said late January, early February.
February 14th through the 21st.
Yeah, she's way too early in the process right now. That ticket price should be in the $500 range. And she should start shopping for that about November this year.
Okay. And she can sign up with you for alerts, can she?
Yeah, absolutely. She can come to the site, do alerts. It'll set the baseline for her, and it'll start to send her notes whenever the prices start to drop.
Okay. Our guest today, Rick Cini, CEO and co-founder of FairCompare.com. Great to have him along, and thank you for listening in. Gary and Rhinelander, your turn. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi there. Listen to the show all the time. Great show.
Thank you.
Hey, we are going to a wedding in Texas in February, mid-February, and we're very stupid when it comes to traveling on airlines. So, you know, we could leave either from Milwaukee, most likely is where we're going to leave from, unless it's cheaper to go from Minneapolis. And I believe the closest airport there would be San Antonio. Or San Antone, as Texas calls it.
Well, I'm a Texan, so I can call it San Antone for you.
Okay. And the area is De Cordova. I don't know if you know that area.
I know it a little bit. Yeah, it's a little bit outside of San Antonio.
Okay, so I guess I'd like to know what would the cost going to be for two people traveling, full air back and forth. And when's the best time to look?
Sure. So you said you were leaving, did you say February and March of next year?
February
of next year, yeah. So typically for domestic tickets, you want to start shopping about 3 months before departure.
Okay.
So anytime before 3 months, and we're well before 3 months right now, airlines don't really manage their cheaper seats, and they're going to sell you sort of the fifth and sixth cheapest price. They're happy to let you buy that price ahead of time. When you hit about that three-month mark, the airlines start to manage that and say, hey, how are bookings looking? What do they look like historically? And you seem to sort of dip into some sale prices, dump some sale inventory out there. That particular trip, on average, and I'm looking at our data here, has been averaging in round trip per person around $325 round trip the past year.
Okay.
So that gives you a baseline. I think given where we are with the economy and where things are heading, and potentially I think you probably could get that a little bit lower. So I'd be shooting for under $300 round trip. So anytime you see a price point and start shopping at about November timeframe, under $300, and then that's when you should buy your ticket.
Okay, how about bags? Is there one free bag for,
Yeah, depending on your airline that you choose, the only ones that have free bags today are Southwest Airlines and JetBlue. I'm not sure JetBlue actually flies that route. So Southwest would be, and that's typically $25 each way, so that adds an additional $50. Certainly, depending on how long you're staying or if you can carry on, you would want to do that. Depending on how long you're staying, you wouldn't want to check a bag. So that would be an additional $50 round trip.
Yeah. Yep, there you go. We've gotten really good in our household at packing everything we need into carry-on bags.
The other thing to do, too, if you have two people, it's much better to take a 50-pound bag and consolidate them and pay the fee than to take two 25-pound bags.
Ah, there we go. We have Ken in Eau Claire. Your turn, Ken. Hi.
Hey, hi, Larry. Hi, Rick. I've got a question about getting to Hawaii in January, this January coming up.
Mm-hmm.
We're taking my wife, myself, and four very good friends along. I'm in charge of getting the tickets, and I want them to
you become the travel agent of the extended family, it sounds like.
So what I'm finding is this, a few conflicting things from what the advice I've heard Rick give before. I've listened many times to the show, and it's usually work, but I'm finding things like we were going to go from we actually have a condo set up for January 4th through the 18th, so Saturday to Saturday. But it seems that the tickets seem to be somewhat cheaper if we leave on, let's say, Sunday or Monday rather than going on Saturday. And I thought,
I'm looking at the pricing right now. So for that weekend, January the 4th, Friday is running right at it's running right now $900. It's a little too early to buy, for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
So airlines aren't managing their inventory for Hawaii. Typically, the second week in January, it looks like you're sort of in the first week of January, is one of the better times to fly, because you're basically getting those typically you have those high winter rates just trailing off at the end of December and early January. So that January 4th date on there is going to be right sort of in the middle of people coming back from Hawaii, because they have to get their kids back to school. I would expect that ticket to be right now, if you were, for example, going to go to Hawaii in the next month or two, the price point is a little under $700. So you're looking at a $250 difference right now, mainly because you're shopping too early.
Mm. And we're going to continue that. And I know Rick's got some more advice to share with Ken about flying to Hawaii. And he also has some tips for you. And we'll talk with him some more right after we take a look at the news. Stay with us here on the Ideas Net. Coming up at 1 o'clock today, after 30 plus years in the job, a renowned educator joins Kathleen Dunn to share his advice for fellow teachers. That's today at 1 o'clock. Right now, we're talking about travel. A lot of fun, whether it's getting away to enjoy nature or maybe strolling the streets of a new city. I think most of us have an ideal of what an ideal vacation might be. Larry Mueller here with Rick Cini, founder and CEO of FareCompare.com. He helps us navigate the world of airfares and keeps us informed about trends that he sees in the industry. And Rick, always a pleasure to have you with us. Thanks for joining.
Always fun to come on.
And we had, as we were breaking for news, we had Ken in Eau Claire, who's got, I think, about six people going to Maui. and wondering about when, you know, the fares are confusing, when to buy and so forth.
Yes, sir. It's a little early right now. One of the problems is he had to leave on January the 4th, which I believe is on the weekend. So basically what he's doing is he's fighting with people coming back from their trips that are their kids go back to school that next Monday or Tuesday. So unfortunately he's heading out and he's staying for 10 days, but he's fighting with that. So the price drops by over 15% even today, even though it's a little early to buy that next Monday, because then people are back at school. So I would wait to buy that ticket for early January up until probably about late August. I'd start shopping maybe early September. He's still going to end up having to pay between $750 and $800 for that ticket when the going rate, in theory, if he had a sale later on in January, he'd probably be paying well under $700.
I was talking about islands here. You have an article in FareCompare.com about the seven island trips that won't break the bank. And it's kind of a fun article at FareCompare.com. We think about island, we think Hawaii or the Caribbean. Sometimes those can be pretty pricey. What are some fun island spots that are more affordable?
Yeah, our editor on the site actually were saying, are there any islands in the United States other than the ones in my lake right now because the water's down by four feet?
Oh, man.
So we were like, what some airlines we could do so we could get some domestic flights, given we mentioned earlier the crazy fuel surcharges right now if you go over an ocean. So we came up with a few. Catalina Island was certainly top on the list because Los Angeles area, including its four or five airports, are one of the cheapest places to fly to. There's an island I didn't actually know existed called Mackinac Island in Michigan. So that's another area. And then prices to Michigan are actually quite cheap. We had Long Island in there. My wife is a big fan of a show called Royal Pains on USA Network, so she's forcing me to do that one. Nantucket. We also picked South Padre Island, which is off the coast of Texas, and Antelope Island, which is also in Salt Lake City.
And Key West, I think, too, you had.
Yeah, I think we had Key West as well in that list.
So that's at FareCompare.com.
And we were looking for some place you could get to an island that was under $450 round trip.
Yeah, very cool. Mary in Green Bay has a question for you. Hi, Mary.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My son is a cellist, and he has a non-ending trouble trying to fly with his cello. And I'm just wondering what you think is the best way to go. Sometimes he tries to check it. Sometimes he tries to carry it on. Sometimes he buys a ticket for it, which gets to be quite pricey. And, of course, there's always the threat, the thought that, you know, it's going to get damaged, it's going to get destroyed. And I'm just wondering if you have any experience or comments on that.
Yeah, there's a huge viral campaign that went on with a guy that actually wrote a song about United because his guitar got broken twice.
It's really a funny
song. If you ever get a chance, go back and review that. And by the way, because of that, there's been some changes to things. First of all, it depends on what kind of case you have for it. I see the same sort of problem that people that go to Napa Valley and Sonoma that want to come back with wine.
Mm-hmm.
And how they're buying, $50 or $100 bottles of wine, and how do they bring them back, for example, from these trips? Mm-hmm. And it's all about sort of the case. If you have a really good quality case, which is very, very expensive, it's certainly worthwhile to check it. They also, some airlines, depending on which airline, will also have handle with care tags and stuff where they'll actually make sure it goes through and a human goes through with it to make sure it gets loaded properly and whatnot. Certainly, as you mentioned, you could actually buy a seat for it.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on where you're going, that could be expensive. And then sometimes, depending on how big, in the case of a cello, it's not quite as big. You could probably just carry it on and put it in the baggage. Sometimes you might get trapped at the gate by a gate agent that says it doesn't fit quite right.
Right.
TSA will let it through. To be honest, with a cello, violin, those kind of things, I would attempt to go through TSA with it and sort of take it with me on the plane.
Yeah, and that's what we found, that it does get kind of pricey, as you said. And we tried Amtrak, but since he had to sleep overnight, he actually took a bike lock and locked the cello to the rack above him because he didn't want it to get stolen. So we've tried just about every permutation there is, but thank you very much.
Yeah, there's really no other way around it. FedEx actually has sort of a delicate care service, but again, it's going to be extremely pricey.
We have, I got to go back to the islands for a minute because we got an email from Chris in Madison who's looking to go to the Belize Keys or somewhere in the Caribbean soon after Christmas for about a week. Like to leave from Madison, Wisconsin. when would be the best time to buy tickets and what would be a good price for a round-trip ticket? What are some good islands to check out? I'm looking for something that is not very touristy.
Well, I, unfortunately, I'm more of an airfare expert than my wife handles the what to do once you get there sort of thing. But I've been all over the world. I have over 3 million air miles. And my daughter, who's 12, actually has 300,000 air miles. So we've been pretty much all over the world. So I'll have to get back on the where to go. But as far as pricing's concerned, Belize is actually, even out of Madison right now, you can get tickets in sort of the January time frame for $600, which means that ticket price will probably be closer to mid-500s. Given Caribbean and all the other locations, that's actually a pretty good price. I would expect the price to come down by $70 or $80 in the next 2 or 3 months. I'd start shopping for that sort of early January trip sometime in late August.
Bonnie in Madison has a question. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I am hoping with my sister to leave from Chicago to go to Paris, then just travel on land across the channel to London and come back from London. This would be the end of September, coming back 2 weeks later. My dilemma is that I've been online trying to look at some of the cheap sites. And I can't figure out, short of doing two single flights or two one-way flights, how to be able to set up arriving at one port and coming back from the other airport.
Okay, yeah. So a couple things. If you're flying into Paris, it's probably you're going to be coming back from London Heathrow if that's where you're going to head.
Yes.
And you're going to take the Eurostar from Paris to London, which is through the channel there. Basically, what you're looking for is what's called the multi-city option on those sites. So you might see the word advanced or multi-city.
Okay.
So click on that, and then it'll let you basically pick a different stopover point.
Okay.
So check there, and then that price during that time frame, September is actually a very good time. The prices drop at the last week in August by about 20%, so September is a great time to go, and especially great time. And my favorite time to go is September to Europe because it's past the summer season, the weather's actually a little bit cooler, and the prices drop by 20%. So you should be able to find that ticket even out of Chicago for right around $1,000, maybe a little bit more. No more than $1,100 is what you should pay.
Okay, right now what I'm seeing is $1,400 pretty much across the board. So
yeah, I'm looking at prices to Paris right now. If you were just going to Paris and returning from Paris, it'd be right at the $1,070 mark for a 7-night trip. So you should see in that range, hopefully. You do need to, you're sitting here at the end of July, so you need to make that purchase in the next couple weeks.
All right, there you go. Good luck. Thank you. We had a Facebook question from Daryl, who's heading to New Hampshire next week, Tuesday or Wednesday, from Minneapolis, St. Paul. Is there any standby or other way to jump on a flight round trip?
Well, what happens is that as soon as you hit sort of the 14-day before departure mark, or in many cases, if it's a low-cost airline route, 7 days, airlines start to treat you as though your boss is paying for your ticket and you can afford 3 or 4 times the going rate.
Yeah.
And so there's not really good ways to stand by anymore. I'll also note that, you know, 5 years ago, the average load factor, which is how many people are on a plane, was just under 70%. Now planes today are running just under 90% full. So there's been a big change, and a lot of that's because they've cut back on the number of flights, and that means there's less seats for these last-minute issues or where you can hop on for something. Now, the one thing I would note, if you do have loyalty points and mileage, many times last-minute seats come up, and sometimes they'll waive the fee for last-minute stuff, and that's the best way to do that last-minute information.
Marianne in St. Charles, Illinois, has a question. Hi, Marianne.
Hi, Larry. How are you doing today?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Rick. This is an interesting question. We're going to have our first grandchild, and my daughter wants me to go Chicago to San Francisco to kind of just help out. So I know you don't have a crystal ball, but
I do actually have a crystal ball. So.
Oh, good. Good. Boy. Well, then I need your help. So if I'm figuring just mathematically, you know, babies usually are late the first time, and if you go out like 3 days, and is there any way to, you know, gauge? I've got O'Hare, and this is Chicago to San Francisco, I think I said, but I've got O'Hare, Midway, or Rockford. So I'm lucky there, and I do have some points, but I kind of was saving them up for, you know, that continental trip. Sure. You know, I've been hoarding them for years, so, but that's...
Yeah, your points are much better. Any ticket that's under $450, you should be paying cash for anyway. Save your points for that big trip.
Yeah, and but I have AX, too, and I thought, you know, I was kind of like the last caller. It's kind of, you know, the doctors know when things are moving along, you know. And so I just, what can, you know, there's no standby anymore. So, and I know that some flights have openings, but you're right. I haven't seen, the last flight we were on, there was like, my gosh, there was not one empty seat. And so I haven't seen that.
Sure. Well, by the way, congratulations. And second of all, a couple things. Southwest Airlines typically at the last minute is a little bit cheaper than the legacy counterparts, United, American, which would be the ones on that particular route. Delta doesn't fly that route, only a handful of flights. So Southwest out of Midway into Los Angeles, you're going to San Francisco, right? That would be going,
right,
you'd be going into Oakland in that case.
No, SFO.
Yeah, so, well, SFO. Southwest typically flies into Oakland if you take Southwest out of Midway. So,
oh, that's right.
Yeah, so just be, and that's a little bit, depending on where, what part of the San Francisco Bay Area, it could be pretty far from what you want to do. The price point right now, I mean, for that trip, depending on when you want to go, what time frame are you talking
about? October 7th through the 11th.
So you're almost in the window of shopping for it. The big problem is you don't know which day to buy. Because it's in the future. And so in these particular cases, it's very difficult because almost all tickets are non-refundable right now. And they just changed, the bigger legacy airlines changed the change fee to $200 for domestic tickets.
Oh.
So if you buy your ticket for $300, if you change your plans, basically you're going to lose two-thirds of the value plus pay whatever the going market rate is, which is typically much higher at the last minute. So one of the things that you can do is certainly in this particular case, because of the last minute nature of that ticket, if it ends up being $600 or $700, you can use your points. What I would do in this particular case is go ahead and buy a cheap ticket in the next, oh, say 3 or 4 weeks, because you're leaving. You said October. So you actually have about 6 weeks. Sort of estimate it. And then in Southwest, again, is very good on this. Their change fee for Southwest is zero.
Oh,
okay.
So you're not going to lose the residual value. So this makes, even though you may go to Oakland, they may actually fly a few flights into SFO. I don't recall, but the bulk of their traffic goes into Oakland. So that's your best bet if you're trying to do that, is to take Southwest. JetBlue also only has, I think, a $75 change fee, but I don't know if they actually fly that route.
There you go.
But what if, will there be a problem with if I have to change in October? Because San Francisco in October, that's a big month for conventions.
And yeah, sort of off-season. Basically, October is a pretty good. Historically, the price points, even out of the Chicago area, are under $300 round trip. And because of there's so many low-cost airlines flying in, they do have one-way pricing. So you're in pretty good shape.
And good luck. Thank you, Marianne, for calling. Appreciate it very much. And Chris in Wauwatosa, thank you for calling. Hi.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I got a question. My brother is going to be coming from San Diego to probably Milwaukee. He's got probably a medium-sized dog. Could you give me some direction on that?
Sure. A couple different things. Each airline is different. Medium-sized dogs, in many cases, are not allowed. They have to be sort of fit under your seat in a very small carrier if you want them in the cabin, which then means you have to they have to actually go in the check cabin down below, a special cabin that doesn't get overly cold. Typically, you know, that ticket's going to be more than your family member's ticket. that would be somewhere around, depending on the airline. Southwest is a little bit cheaper in those particular instances, as you're talking about, a little somewhere between $125 and $160 each way for the pet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good luck. Thanks, Chris, for calling. And Don in La Crosse, hi, thank you for calling.
Hi. I wonder if you'd comment on my theory. I travel a lot. I go to Asia a lot. And the way I usually do it is I use my frequent flyer points to fly free to New York or Chicago or San Francisco. and then I can get the very cheapest possible air flight from there, and not paying much attention to frequent flyer points. Most of them, you know, you get points sort of no matter who you go with. And I, my other thing is I get my tickets as early as possible. I figure I get the lowest price I can if I go 2 months ahead, 3 months ahead, whatever.
Yeah, so...
One problem I have you could comment on, too, is there are lots of airlines that I just don't seem to get access to. I usually use Travelocity, Orbitz, Kayak. I should use yours, perhaps. But there's lots of airlines that, you know, you just don't find unless you know about them.
Yeah, so I'll address those sort of in one thing. First of all, Trans-Pacific flights, specifically to Australia and Asia, Southeast Asia, all the cheap prices are basically from Los Angeles and San Francisco. So I recommend this, by the way, because it's a very long trip anyway. I always stay on the coast and take the next trip and buy two separate tickets. Just like you mentioned, you use points. I wouldn't use points unless the ticket was under $450. Over $450 round trip. I'd still pay cash for that ticket. Many times you can actually find a ticket if you're using a travel agent with a stopover, so you can stop over and get the same cheap price off the West Coast. But that is the cheapest way to fly over there. Typically, you'll save anywhere from $100 to $200. So your theory is correct, and it's not really a theory. It actually is reality, although I wouldn't use my points to actually buy a domestic ticket, because typically you can find those tickets for $200 or $250.
But what do you use them for, your frequent flyer points?
Well, I just got through using them for a trip to Spain, for example. So any ticket that's, you know, over $450, I would do that. I mostly use them for last-minute emergencies when the tickets prices are $800 or $900. Even a business trip or two I've taken on points, for example. So typically I like to save up those points for longer trips, special trips, upgrading cabins, whatnot. That's mm-hmm. That's my personal choice. Some people use them all the time, and then that's fine too.
Yeah, there you go. Good luck. Thanks, Don, for calling. Appreciate it. And Janet in Columbus. Hi, thank you for calling.
We want to bring a high school or a college student from Yevon, Armenia to Chicago. What is our best route or air transportation?
Yeah, I'd have to actually look at that. I'm not super familiar with that particular location. If you'll send a note to rick@faircompare.com, we'll make sure we get that answered for you. That's just an area that I don't really cover very often, so I'd hate to give you advice. In general, when you're coming from that particular area, the Middle East, Northern Africa, you have a handful of airlines. Typically, they transit through London Heathrow. You have British Airways. You also have KLM, a couple other different ones, and they're partners. So those would be the ones that are probably most likely, because there are just not that many airlines that actually have flights into that particular area. You have a handful of flights, for example, out of Atlanta into the Middle East. You have airlines like Emirates, Etihad. Those all fly those particular routes, but they typically fly to, you know, hub cities like Chicago and Dallas, and you'll have to find another ticket getting back. So that's a complicated trip, and we'd be happy to help with you. Just send me a note.
So, again, in your email is rick@faircompare.com?
Yeah, real simple.
Okay, thanks, Janet. And an email from George in Shorewood. When I check air websites for fares, they usually want to pair weird departure and arrival times. Is it ever better off to call the airline directly?
Yeah, so if you're checking a site, basically most sites, they first going to list the prices in the most cheap in price order or the cheapest price order, and that's regardless of sort of how complicated the returns and convenience and whatnot. Typically on most sites, our site included, you have a set of filters on the left-hand side, and you can actually filter to the time of day you want to do and say, look, I only want to leave between these hours and come back between these hours, and that'll weed out all those particular ones. Mm-hmm. What you will find out, though, is all the cheap prices will go away. As you get to be more convenient, the airlines realize that, and they're going to charge you a little bit more.
Oh, yes, they will. Yes, they will. Well, Rick, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I really appreciate it.
Great. Thank you, Larry.
Our guest, Rick Seney, CEO and co-founder of faircompare.com. You might want to take a look at his site. because you can sign up for alerts and get some help that way. And he does a wonderful job of helping us out here on our program. He's been with us a long time, and he's going to be with us, hopefully, for a lot longer time as well. Hope you're having a great day today, and I hope you got a good weekend coming up. But we've got, before the weekend arrives, we've got Garden Talk. And I always look forward to Fridays. Garden Talk is always a lot of fun. And this week, one of my good friends, old friends, she's not old, but she's an old friend, Barb Larson with me. Barb is the Kenosha County horticulture educator with UW Extension, and she's got always has lots of great advice for every gardener. We're hot and heavy in the garden season, aren't we? And I know you will have some questions for her. I have some questions for her, and we'll get to visit with her tomorrow at 11. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.